Welcome to the Pocket Coven podcast, where magic meets mental health. I'm Amber Lenore, a witch and licensed psychotherapist.
I'm Callie Little, a sex educator and emotional support witch, and we're
the coven in your pocket. Hello and welcome to another week of the Pocket Coven podcast, where we cast little brain spells. I think that's what we do.
Brain spells. I like that. I mean, is that not what therapy is?
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of things. In part, brain spells, body spells, self spells. We're here for the manifestation.
It's true. And that is a perfect lead-in to the quote that I want to open this week's topic with. And this is from the Runic Book of Days, A Guide to Living the Annual Cycle of Rune Magic by S. Kelly Harrell. Where Ostara is the time of light's arrival, Beltane is what grows from its warmth.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Isn't that lovely? I felt like it really fit, especially this week, as you know, I have this this huge tree right outside of my living room window. And in the winter, it's bare and I can see my neighbor across the street and I hate it because I feel like he is probably somebody who's like, I know he's really into sports. Like he has the 12th man flag, which is a big thing here in Seattle for the Seahawks. So I don't want to share my line of vision with him. And in the spring, it blossoms just with leaves, but it's so beautiful. And over the past 3 days, it was like day one, I had these little buds of yellow. And day two, they were a little bit bigger and it actually kind of looked like it was dying, which I thought was really interesting. And today on day three, it's starting to be green and bigger and it's starting to obscure the view. I just love it so much. And I feel like, that's the spring vibe. So
I totally agree with you. And I'm happy for you that you don't have to look at a 12th man flag. if I have to look at another one of those fucking flags, I just want to look at trees. Thanks. Similarly, my neighborhood in South Park is just exploding. There are so many trees and plants in my neighborhood, and they're all flowering. And I haven't lived here quite a year. I didn't live here in the springtime last year. We moved in the summer. Mm-hmm. So there was a whole seasonal cycle I didn't really get to observe. And even in my own garden, which I recently learned was put in place by the former resident who was a landscaper. She must have been, because this garden is really insane. And now I'm just kind of tending to her work. And there's just tulips blossoming everywhere in my garden. I didn't even know we had tulips and bleeding heart and all sorts of new plants that I didn't get to see last year. So I spent this weekend like gardening and digging up weeds and tending to my flower beds. And it was just such a lovely meditation on this season.
I love that you're becoming a garden witch. You know, you've never had access to this before.
Exactly. I've lived in apartments for the last 10 years. And I did live in some houses prior to that, but I was so fucking depressed that gardening was definitely not something I wanted to do. it would have helped, but I didn't want to do it. I didn't understand that could help at
I mean,
moment in my life.
Yes, you were depressed, but you were also like 20.
Well, yeah,
and had
sure.
a new baby.
Sure. And, you know, you can be 20 and have a new baby and, you know, garden, like those things can live together. But yes, there were a lot of circumstances other than depression that kept me from gardening. Not everything is about my poor mental health. And also, I find that it's just really nice to have a little plot of land where I can make something grow and where I can support something's growth. It makes me feel like I'm doing that within myself.
Yeah. You posted those videos of you gardening. And I was like, I know that that's labor, but like, I want to go do it. Cause I don't want to take care of a garden, but I do want to get my hands on some dirt and help with a garden. And so I was like, Amber, let me come touch your soil.
Absolutely. Finding little worms and little treasures buried in the dirt is really rewarding. I found tons of crystals and quartz and agate because I guess that imbues the garden bed with a bunch of minerals and it helps them grow.
Oh my gosh.
That's why they're in there. So I put them back.
That's so cool. Are you going to add your own crystals to it?
I think so. Yeah. I got some dahlias, a few of the plants, Amber's gardening hour. A few of the plants have died off, and so I uprooted them, and in their place I'm going to put some dahlias that will flower in the summer, and I'm going to give them some crystals so that they can be really happy flowers. Yeah.
Ooh, you know what I love is this spell idea. I love the idea of you having these crystals be part of the flowers coming to fruition, and then when the flowers die off, you holding the crystals or having them on your altar to bring the energy of that flower to your work.
Ooh, that's a nice spell idea. Listen up, witches. If you have any gardening space, you could do that. Well, I have, as Callie corrected, not a quote, because I actually don't bring quotes. I bring excerpts from books because I'm long-winded. Sometimes I feel bad for my clients. They're trying to keep up with me, and I'm like processing, and I wait for their reaction, and they're like, I don't know what you're asking. You're so long-winded. This is an excerpt from Missing Witches, and we're going to have the authors on the podcast next week. Their names are Risa Dickens and Amy Torok, I believe. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Yeah. Very cool book that is broken up by the Wheel of the Year and is given to a different witch of many different identities so they can speak from their perspective, which is a wonderful intersectional way to have witchcraft community, and it's really nice to see. So this beginning excerpt on the Beltane chapter, which is led by an author named Amy, says, Beltane, usually May 1st, marks the halfway point between the spring equinox and the summer solstice. These halfway points may not have as much solar pizzazz as the solstices and equinoxes, but there is so much power in the very middle of things. Halfway is a marker for achievement. It's also the place where one decides once and for all if they will turn back or keep going. Except with our Wheel of the Year, there is no turning back. When we reach our halfway point in this Wheel of the Year, we must continue. We must keep going. Just keep dancing.
Mm. Wow, they like predicted the burnout of this time of year.
They did. So Callie, about Beltane, do you have a definition of Beltane for our listeners so that they can understand where we're going today?
Yeah. So Beltane is usually celebrated on either April 30th or May 1st, but I say, why not both? And it is a Celtic holiday in origin, a Celtic Sabbat, and it marks the beginning of summer. So even though, you know, we are still very much in spring vibes, summer is clearly on its way. It's kind of like you can see it coming on the horizon. And it's also associated with all of the sexy vibes that we think of when we think of like spring is in the air, you know, bees are carrying pollen around. There are all of these beautiful symbols of fertility and phalluses. And even the maypole, you know, for those who are not aware, it definitely represents penetration. You've got a pole with a circle around the top, but it's beautifully decorated and it's celebrated as this, you know, sacred dance, like you said, Amber, in the opening.
So, I mean, just a light suggestion, if you can find a penis and then decorate it with some ribbon, then you're really celebrating Beltane.
Yes. If you want a fun craft, ask a penis in your life if you can turn them into a maypole.
If it wants to be decorated. Do you want to be decorated? What kind of ribbon would you like, penis?
You know, the ribbons represent prosperity. Like they were thought to be related to like blessing you with money and abundance.
Mm. Yeah, that's one of the major themes of Beltane. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I believe so. You know, we, as we like to remind y'all every once in a while, you know, we're just a couple of witches living our lives every day, waking up with greasy hair. We are not scholars in the ways of paganism and Wicca and all of the things that we talk about, but we are learning and we're sharing with you. So one of the themes of Beltane is, you know, the sun, obviously. Anything that happens in this time of year is going to be related to the holidays of that year. That's what the Wheel of the Year is all about. It's about celebrating the Earth's cycles and drawing conclusions about our own lives and the cycles of being a human, both yearly and lifelong, right? So Beltane is probably named after the Celtic sun god Belenus, I think is how you say it. It's B-E-L-E-N-U-S. And if you're looking for like the Greek association, this would be Apollo. The name Belenus probably means the bright shining one. And so obviously etymologically, it seems like that's where we got the name Beltane. There's also the Celtic goddess Bellissima, and I think that's an Italian word as well. She is associated with the solar flame, the cosmos, and rivers. She can also be likened to Brigid. They're both associated with healing, fire, and water. So it seems like a couple of the main elements of this time are water and fire. I actually would have thought the earth would be a big part of it, but I know that's heavy in the fall vibes.
Yeah, my research revealed that it's often called a fire festival and that big bonfires are erected and doing different fire rituals, jumping over fires. I think you have some stuff around that probably. And that makes sense to be connected to Brigid. She's very much a fire goddess.
Mm-hmm. I mean, still in Scotland, they have the, what is it, like the Society of the Beltane Fire or something like that. But, you know, those huge festivals of fire were still really common until about the 1950s in many places, like in Wales, in Ireland. And now they're not so widely celebrated. Of course, you know, in the British Isles and in Northern Europe in general, there's more of like a casual acknowledgement of all of these things than we have here, but it's not everywhere that really celebrates them. And from what I understand in Scotland, they are very like as true as they can be to tradition. So you can see some old pagan practices at that fire festival.
Very cool. I saw a good number of YouTube witches talking about the various Beltane and May Day festivals in the UK. And I thought that sounded like really cool. It seems like it's a little more celebrated than some of the other Sabbats, at least, you know, like you said, like casually and communally, and is also quite different than traditional pagan festivals. So it's cool to hear that there's areas in Scotland where they're still doing that.
I know. I want to go so bad. As soon as I read about it, I was like, okay, so we're trying to go to the British Isles in the fall / winter, but I want to go in the spring too.
I want to go all year.
It's almost like I want to be there all the time. So, you know, you talk about, you know, the sexy vibes of Beltane, and listen, who amongst us has not seen the Beltane episode of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina?
Oh, I haven't.
Oh, well, okay. That's how you're going to celebrate. Number one, that's on your ritual to-do list. It's like, listen, it is The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is definitely fiction. So everything in there is fictionalized versions of reality. And like, you know, weren't they sued by the Church of Satan?
Or they recreated the Baphomet. They lifted the artwork. So
right.
They got in trouble.
The statue that the Church of Satan has, or is it the Church of Satan?
It's the Satanic Temple.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, we just did this episode recently. Yeah. They have this beautiful Baphomet statue and Sabrina kind of stole it. Anyway, so in this episode, you know, the teens go a-maying, and a-maying is like the maidens and young men would go you know, quote, looking for flowers the night before the Beltane celebration. And weirdly, none of them returned virgins. Isn't that wild?
That seems incredibly appropriate for the holiday.
Agreed. So the tradition of a maying, I mean, is supposed to be, you know, the guise of like, we're collecting flowers, but it's an excuse to go bone in the woods all night and collect flowers.
What have you been doing? Boning and collecting beautiful flowers, making flower crowns and boning.
I mean, do we not say that every Sabbath is about bread and boning?
I think the Sabbath might be the most, but absolutely, it's hard to say everyone. I'm like, well, here we go. Except Samhain, which is the opposite of Beltane.
The thin times. Which is times. Mostly about,
right. That's about death, mostly.
Right. This is about being a human petri dish and making life.
And because it's directly opposite of Samhain, this is another holiday that is incredibly, incredibly thin. So this is a place to work with the she. It's also a time to be very intentional about connecting with ancestors or deity or spirit in a way that is embodied and also contained. So the guidance that I've read is that some energies that are maybe not so fantastic for you could also cross over at this time too. So you can wear like a little bit of iron, or you can cast a circle, or you can just be incredibly clear, as I said, about who you're trying to call in and who you're trying to work with. When this episode is available to the public, I will be doing that up north in the woods. And that feels incredibly exciting. I can't wait to get to there. So I hope that listeners can find just a little bit of time and space to connect with the themes, because this is really about manifestation, whereas Samhain was very much about leaving things into the night, right? Banishing, casting away. Now you've had this time to gestate. You have given birth to the new self. It is here. It is active, and it needs your nurturance and your care. So connecting to pleasure, connecting to cycles of life, rooting down into your body, slowing down, all of these things are, well, slowing down is always good. I think I gave that guidance on Samhain too. and I'll probably give that guidance every single time, because that is what allows you to connect with the themes and the energy of the holiday.
It's what Sabbaths are for. It's prioritizing slowing down and paying attention to what's happening.
Exactly.
Yes, I love the note on paying attention to, you know, which energies and spirits are coming through. One of the tricks that my witch therapist gave me that I really love is not only tending to the well ancestors, you know, who I invite to my altar, the ones who have my highest good in mind, but also the ones who are not well. Because they're still there. And they're often the ones that we know. They're often our family that we have experienced in this realm, right? So the advice I was given was to create a little outdoor altar, like even at, you know, you can go to a park, basically, like have a picnic at a park and have a feast or just some kind of offering for your unwell ancestors. And you can say, you are welcome here. I have this offering for you today. You are not welcome in my home, but you're welcome to sit with me here.
That's lovely. I really like how that feels to me like trauma integration. So it's you having the strength and stability and capacity to send healing back to those who needed it. It feels to me like sharing your progress. I often feel like my unwell ancestors, the ones that I do know of, I think they would be delighted and kind of shocked by the person that I am today. So I would really like to share some of that with them. They didn't maybe know they could access magic, or maybe they didn't know they could slow down, or maybe nobody supported their trauma integration. You know, all of those things are tremendously true. So being able to show them that I'm well now might feel really good to them.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. It it does feel like trauma integration. You know, it feels like being really kind to and loving to things that maybe weren't kind and loving to you, but not in a way without boundaries. You know, you have the boundary of like, this is not going in my home, but this is in the world. It's in my world and I'm going to care for it, just not in my sacred space.
Yeah. Yeah. The boundaries are really key. You are bringing parts of yourself back that really need care and really need tending. And Beltane feels like a really important time to be looking at the ways in which you have had post-traumatic growth. We can do and will do an entire episode on trauma and post-traumatic growth. Essentially, it is all the ways that you have changed as a result of the work you've done. We heavily emphasize shadow work. We have been since the beginning. And that is all well and good. And also, that is not all of it. After that, or congruently, it is really important to notice how you are changing. Your ability to feel successful is entirely dependent on your ability to story yourself as a successful person.
Yes, I love that point. And it gave me the kind of hit that I got from the episode where you said, every time you're, you know, shining a light on something, that light is casting a shadow. Yeah, the reverse is true too. Anytime you're seeing a shadow, it's because there's light.
Exactly. Yes.
Ooh. Man, I love making this podcast.
Right. It's good for us too, listeners. We are having an experience together also. Yeah.
There is a parallel process happening, not just with me and Amber, but also with the two of us and with our audience. You know, this is... it's a relationship that leads to a lot of healing. And I could go on about how grateful we are. We got like a really nice video message yesterday from a listener and it was just really sweet. It made my day. But anyway, so Beltane and shadows and light. Yeah, where Samhain is the time to really look at the shadows, this is a time to really look at the light. Neither one can exist without the other. Looking at the relationship between the two is important. There's just, what we're saying is there's more emphasis on the light right now. There's an acute awareness of like, look at all of the ways that you are shining or that it's possible for you to shine. All of the love and sensuality that can come from within.
I'm feeling you. I mean, what's coming up for me is the vulnerability of identifying your light and living within your light and acknowledging that you have had some growth. For some of the people I work with, identifying their successes or things they can feel proud of or things they did quote unquote right is more vulnerable than shadow work because they know what is not well about them and they can speak about it really fluently and it's actually a very comfortable place. Like I'm actually really comfortable with shadow work. It is also more vulnerable for me to acknowledge the ways that I express light. I'm very shadowy. And like I said, yeah, a lot of people feel that way. So yes, it is important to establish how you are growing, how you are succeeding. And also, I think it's important to acknowledge that's really vulnerable work too. Shadow
work
and light work are both incredibly vulnerable. So it can feel kind of scary, right? If I say that I am blooming in this way, I have these new petals, what if someone plucks them? What if the plant dies? What if I fail? What if next month I'm not this version of myself? Will that mean that I didn't do a good job? Like now I'm visible. People can see that. I'm announcing that I'm well. Oh, that's so vulnerable.
It is. And I mean, I love that you bring that up. And this is where like my excitement around the creative process for me and how I've worked with it comes up because I have for the past few years really embraced the concept of showing your work. Show the highlights, show the lowlights. All of it is necessary. And the reason that I feel that way comes from like a years ago experience of reading somebody's Tumblr post that was like, the reason that I share things about my work on the internet are because when I see people share things, it inspires me to be like, oh, if they could overcome this thing, maybe I can. Oh, if they can do this thing after I watched them go through depression for 6 months, maybe I can do that thing too. Maybe I can get out of my depression. And the process, I mean, you know, we're saying like shadow work is vulnerable, light work is vulnerable, living is vulnerable. Being a human being is to occupy a very expiration date based expression of the universe. You know, we are overly evolved. Our brains are so wonky. We create coping mechanisms that help and harm us at the same time. Like, we're weird, weird creatures. Show your work, show your process. Don't be afraid of being imperfect, because you are. I promise you are imperfect. And I say that as somebody who definitely struggles with perfectionism in a way that, like, I didn't even realize. Over and over, I keep learning all the ways that these self-limiting beliefs show up for me. And a piece of advice my therapist recently gave me that I have written down right in front of me right now is, I'm allowed to feel and be ordinary.
That's great. Yes.
Yeah. I struggle with internalizing that a lot. But you know, we are ordinary. Humans are like everywhere, and we all have these unique lives full of struggle and success and pain and joy. And like, just because, yeah, you're fucking killing it this month or whatever, even if you're not next month, who cares? I mean, I care, you know, let's get you through it, buddy. But nobody is going to say like, okay, well, you get an F at this life experience because you had a bad month, a bad year.
Yeah. Some people might. I mean, people react to us when we shine. They do. Mm-hmm. They project on us when we're visible. The shadows can feel like an incredibly safe place to live, even if it's not making you happy. Humans also love what is safe and known, even if it is not working for their goals. And often we would rather be safe than happy, or fuck happy, joyous, embodied, because of the vulnerability that comes with it, especially if you're expressing your art or your intention or yourself in a public space like online, where most of us are. Especially right now, because we can't express ourselves in large groups safely. Yeah, people are going to look at your selfies and think that you're a narcissist.
Who cares?
Exactly. Who fucking cares? that's a fact about them. People are going to look at your artwork and think it's garbage. Who cares? Right. And also the who cares, Callie and I have been practicing that for a really long time. I really, truly only post on social media for myself. If you like it, that's fucking cool. I do not care. And I cannot emphasize enough how much I do not care, because it really is a very selfish endeavor for me. It's only for me. But that took a really long time. And occasionally those cracks in my light, they come in. And what if someone will think this about me? Or what if they will think that about me? And Beltane is a holiday that says, yeah, maybe they can see you shine anyway.
Mm.
Right? Maybe they can see you dance anyway, express yourself anyway, because you know what? If you keep expressing yourself, you do give those people permission to express themselves. I have watched especially clients navigate this tenuous balance of coming into themselves and then realizing everyone can see them. Oh no, what will I do if I am perceived? And then thickening up their skin so they can continue to be perceived and continue to shine, because no one benefits from you becoming smaller or more shadowy. They don't, you know, everyone benefits from you taking up space.
So you're saying you've got to sing like you don't need the money, love like you've never been hurt.
The footsteps that are beside me on the beach are walking with their Jesus's, their Jesus's feet. And he walks with me. I don't know, man. Yeah.
You got to dance like nobody's watching, you know?
If you love something, let it go. And if it comes back, it's yours.
And live, laugh, love.
Die, scream, hate. Give a fuck, do whatever you want.
Do what thou wilt.
as long as it is anti-oppressive and for the highest good of the community. And yeah, Beltane.
Light some fucking fires.
I learned how to make a torch. I'm going to do it on my own. Let's hope I don't burn off my eyebrows. But you grab like a big sturdy stick and you wrap it in some like a rag or a t-shirt and mm-hmm. you dip it in lighter fluid and then you light it. So that's a ritual that you can do with safety. Learn fire safety. It's a fire festival, fire holiday. Please don't burn off anything you need. Okay.
Yeah. You can also just, you know, for people like myself who don't live in a beautiful house with a yard, there are these amazing things called candles.
Wait a minute. Tell me more about this candle thing. I don't know what you mean. So, Callie, I wonder what other suggestions we have for ritual and celebrating Beltane. What can our listeners take away?
Well, there are so many simple rituals you can do for any holiday, you know, and the real magic does come from you saying, ooh, I resonate with this concept, and either doing something because it resonates with you or because you thought of it. You know, we have said before, like, you don't have to follow somebody else's spell. It's going to be most powerful when it comes from you. But one of the traditions on Beltane is, you know, to wake with the dawn and to brush your face with morning dew. This is also true of Ostara, and Amber and I both had the intention of doing it and then we didn't because we were sleeping. But, you know, it was fine. We did some afternoon dew on our face instead. Our faces, not the one collective face, that's different. So another thing you can do for this is you can collect some leaves that have been touched by the dew. If you live in more of an urban place, like I live in a very city part of Seattle. So any of the grass in my area probably has dog pee on it. So not safe for morning dew. However, leaves, and one of the things you can do that is suggested in the Modern Witchcraft Guide to the Wheel of the Year by Judy Ann Nock is to collect leaves, put them in a bottle with purified water, and then you can use that water over the coming weeks to like spritz yourself with this morning dew. And it was thought that May Day dew gifted the user with like beauty and youth and, I don't know, love. So, you know, if you vibe with water, if you're a water witch, maybe think of that. If you're a plant witch, there's, you know, plant association there. And also, yeah, candles and always bread. I haven't seen anything in this book about the bread, but I'm sure it's part of the holiday because it always is.
Yes, a feast of some kind, snacks, definitely part of the holiday. Again, altars, like building an altar every holiday in the Wheel of the Year is pretty traditional. Finding flowers, leaves, different natural objects. I think that you could put a lot of different things on your altar that could represent your own personal growth. You know, you've done all this underground time since Samhain. What have you grown? What parts of you have emerged that could be revered and worshipped? If you want to know more about self-worship, listen to that episode. It's really fun. Very Beltane vibe. Mm-hmm. And yes, again, fire of some kind is really great for this holiday. And I think it would be really fun to make your own wand. I mean, find a nice sturdy stick. You could hot glue crystals on it. You could paint it. You could put ribbons around it. I think that could be a really fun little thing to do for Beltane.
I love that. I made my own wand last year. And I had this whole like tube of dowel rods because I do fiber arts sometimes. And I was looking at them and trying to figure out what else to do with them. And I was like, oh, I could like carve a wand out of one. So I just took my X-Acto knife and carved myself a little wand. And then I had some leather scraps. So I made a little leather wrap for the handle and I embroidered some roses on that. You know, you can do really whatever you want. And again, it's about seeing what resonates with you. I love your idea, Amber, of adding to your altar in ways that celebrate how you have brought your light to the surface. Also, you know, hey, if you're vibing with your shadow these days, go for it. Bring it on up. It's plenty light outside. Bring your shadowy self. Like, honor your process, honor the process of your life and the process of the earth. That's what it's about.
Absolutely. I think it's so important to observe these holidays in a way that really works for you. You are going to have so much more impact and you are going to feel so much more connection to your rituals if they are meaningful to you. And yes, it's a process to figure out what is meaningful to you. So you can use our guides. You can use any other guide. And if you start using one of our suggestions and then something comes up for you, that's how you know. That's how you know that's for you. You know, I want to make a wand, but I want to do it a little different. I want to make a fire ritual, but I want to do a little different. Do it a little different. Make it yours.
And if you want more ideas, more rituals, some exciting inspiration, we will be going over that in our Patreon bonus content this week. So if you join us at the witch tier or above, you'll have access to that as well as our backlog of episodes, bonus content. And if you join us at the book coven tier or above, you will have access to all of those episodes and blog entries and all of the content we share there as well. We really do make a ton of content for our patrons because they really do make this podcast possible. So thank you so much to everyone who has signed up recently. We see you. You add so much joy to our lives. You make it so worth it. And all of the people who have given us reviews lately on Apple Podcasts. We do have a new review this week, and this is from Liz_how dare someone take my name. That's a really good username. So it's titled, I revived this dead account because I love this so much, which thank you so much, Liz. This podcast has been so amazing, so funny, and so healing for me. I really appreciate the viewpoints that Amber and Callie and their guests bring to us each week, and I really appreciate that each episode leaves me feeling so much more happy and elevated compared to how I felt before listening to the episode. I'm looking forward to watching the Pocket Coven grow. Well, we're looking forward to watching you grow, Liz.
Thank you. What a lovely testament to how much this person likes our podcast. I hate reviving dead accounts. You got to reset a password. Like, fuck that. I would avoid ever doing that.
Same.
I have some of my favorite podcasts that have changed my life. I still haven't left reviews for. So I really appreciate you. And you know what? I'm going to go leave those reviews because it is good energy for me to do that.
Pay it forward. Thank you so much, Liz. Well, if you'd like to join Liz in leaving us an excellent review, we would love to read it on the air as we do every week. We just really, really love y'all. You make our lives a little bit more meaningful, a lot more meaningful. You listen to our work and our process, and you're doing the damn thing with us. So thank you. If you want to support the podcast through either of those means, great. If you don't, hey, we still love you. You can follow us on Instagram, Pocket Coven Podcast, and it's totally free and you don't have to write anything. Otherwise, we'll just see you next week. Celebrate some Beltane, y'all. Eat some bread. Go bone in the woods if you want. Maybe decorate a penis with some ribbons.
Light a candle, but don't light a penis. Okay, that's where we... are.